Welcome to the Stage Page Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 15th of October, 2006. This is our Halloween show. A little early, perhaps, but if you want to use a seasonal monologue, you need to get started early. We have four monologues today. The text for each can be found on GL's website, www.stagepage.info. Use by students in schools or actors in auditions is free, but please give credit where credit is due and please invite your friends to visit us. Let's start with Jonathan Donahue relating A Curious Tale.
About 3 years ago, I went up to New Hampshire to stay with this friend of mine, William Deems. When he picked me up at the bus station, Will looked kind of funny, like there was something wrong, but he didn't want to tell me. I thought maybe his girlfriend had showed up and he wanted to get rid of me. But when I asked him, Will just laughs and said he didn't know how to explain it. But there was something weird about his cabin. Weird is right. It was haunted. It had belonged to this little old lady, maybe 85 or so. She lived out there all alone, doing the chores all herself, right up to the winter that she died. After she died, it seemed she decided to stick around the place. Will would go out in the morning and come back to find a fire lit in the stove, or the lamp on if he got home after dark. After a while, Will just kind of got used to it. Granny would do up the dishes or leave out a cup of hot tea for him. He'd be reading or working while the old lady's rocker would be going gently back and forth, like she was sitting there knitting. But if Will made a mess or left his gear around, Granny would bang the drawers at him or clash the pots and pans. Well, when we got there, sure enough, there was a tea kettle whistling, and the rocker going back and forth, back and forth. Will gave me a funny look and said, to the rocker, he said this, Granny, this is my friend Greg. Don't you play tricks and frighten him now. And the rocker stopped. Stopped dead. And that was it for the weekend. No bumps in the night, no chill wind or rattling chains or anything. Until, right before I was to get the bus back, Will made us a last pot of coffee, poured the cups on the stove, and started drinking his. I said, hey, where's mine? And then I saw that other coffee cup lift itself up off the counter and sail slowly through the air, plop down right next to my hand.
Go, Granny, go! Thanks, Jonathan. Mr. Donahue is a local area actor. And now, Geraldine reads a tale of unrequited love from the Deep South.
In Cajun country, men are kings. Little kings. Women learn the hard way what they have to do. In Moon Grove, there was a girl just my age. Her granny was a conjure woman, but the girl never had any truck with conjuring herself, till the boy she loved ran off to New Orleans and left her carrying his baby. Every night in her bed she'd moan and say his name. She didn't eat, but even so, she began to swell. She went to her granny and got some medicine. And then she went out in the bayou under the full moon and moaned and moaned until that baby came out of her, dead. Now she hated that boy, and she was crazy for vengeance. She took the baby's cord, and she knotted it round a wax doll, and she dipped that doll in blood. And she held it over the fire crying on the power of the moon. And the moon came down to her. That boy in New Orleans, he couldn't make love to his new woman. Every night the girl would come to him, naked, in his dreams, and curse and taunt him. One day, the boy came home to Moon Grove. He wasn't big and handsome then. His flesh had just melted away. He begged the girl to make him a man again. And when she laughed, he tried to beat her. But he couldn't. He just shook. He was so weak. When he called his old dog to him, it whimpered and cringed. The boy took his gun and went hunting. And he never came back. Well, not in the flesh. But his ghost walks there in the bayou, moaning at the moon.
You don't want to mess with those southern ladies. And now, Valerie Sedano will read a bit of cinematic strangeness.
The ghost I saw? He looked like his pictures. This was a rather famous ghost, which is why I can't be sure it really happened. I may have been influenced. Anyway, the famous ghost was Charlie the Stuntman, killed in a fall. Charlie was said to haunt the studio where he died and to show up sometimes in the rushes. One of the crews showed me a bit of the film he had of Charlie, this kind of transparent gunman, and I had a nice shiver out of it. But I don't think for a moment I believed in him. Trick photography, I thought. But then a day or two later I was late changing. Most of the lights were out, and I was on the way to the exit when I walked by a man in a costume. Standing in the shadow, familiar, but then I realized where I'd seen him. Charlie, in the film? I stopped dead. I couldn't move. I swear my hair stood straight up on my head. Of course, by the time I'd recovered enough to turn around, there was nothing there. I wasn't terrified, exactly. I never thought I was in physical danger. It was just eerie, uncanny. Just remembering it, Charlie gives me goosebumps.
Thank you, Valerie. Local actress Valerie Sedano. And now, a pleasingly rare appearance by me. Geraldine said I must. You married folk will understand. I always thought my Uncle Barney was crazy. His family home is one of those old Edward Gorey type Victorians, and every Halloween since I was a kid, he's turned it into a haunted house. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't think much about it. Halloween? I was the kind of kid who could take it or leave it. Trick-or-treating was okay, but not my favorite thing. Not if I had to dress up in a silly costume. But for my uncle's family, it was like the focus of their whole year. The house has these long corridors that they line with black cloth, and every door opens onto a scary scene. Very artistic, very professional, very much an insane amount of hard work, but just mind-boggling how top-notch he got his effects. Really top-notch. Like, last year I took my kids to the haunted house in the next town over. One of these officially town-sponsored things, fundraising for the Boy Scouts. That town does it on a derelict property, so they have the whole place to work in. And unlike my uncle's family, they don't have to try and figure out how to live in it at the same time. Plus, professionals donate their goods and services. Some kind of tax break thing. But it's a big nothing, compared to my uncle's. It's a paint-by-the-numbers haunted house, while my uncle's is the real thing. People come from miles around for the experience. The police send an officer to direct traffic. Gives you goosebumps going through. I suppose Uncle Barney's put a lot of thought into it. Tried things out gradually, getting it to where it's really, really scary. But not gross. Not a human butcher shop. Not the Disney Dayglow stuff either. More like the... like projections of a guilty mind. It's not something that sets five-year-olds to screaming. They don't understand. It's too subtle. Although five-year-olds have to come in holding their parents' hands or carried in their arms so they'll feel safe. Uncle Barney insists. But if you're the parent who's holding your kid, keeping her safe, whispering, "It's just pretend," you come out shaken. The things behind the doors, lurking in the shadows, they're real enough to be frightening. Dangerous impulses. Curiosity gone wrong. Natural fears, simple as spiders or inevitable like death and decay. You realize you're keeping the kid safe now, but there's darkness everywhere, including your own hearts. It's not fun exactly, but on the whole, it's a good thing to go through. Brings you closer together. It's the preteens who scream. You'd think they were on a roller coaster, screaming themselves silly. And then when they're outside, they laugh and push each other around and make monster faces and do that middle school bonding silliness. Which works, I think. My Uncle Barney's a medicine man. The ritual magic of his Halloween house makes those of us who have gone through it a little bit different from people who haven't. And you know what? The whole town recognizes this. When Uncle Barney retired 4 years ago, he was thinking about moving to Florida. But the paper wrote a story about how this might mean no more Halloween. What an uproar. Letters to the editor. An award banquet. A Save the Haunted House Fund. Barney agreed to stay for a while. Well, people put pressure on his kids and even on me to take over for him, and I sort of wish I could. I can't imagine this town without the house. But whether Barney's crazy or some kind of genius, he's not me. I'm the kind that can take it or leave it, not the kind that makes it happen. That's it for this week. Hope you found something to amuse you. We'll be back next week with more chat and readings, and these readings will find their way into the jukebox on stagepage.info. Until then,